Glory to God. Good to see you all this morning. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. I said He's worthy of our praise. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. 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 God doesn't need your praise, but He asks you to give it to Him because you need it. Right? You need to be thinking about Him. You need to be concentrating on Him. You got to be reminding yourself of who He is. Amen? Hallelujah. We've been speaking for the last few weeks on worship. And again, I thought I might be done after 3 weeks. And then last week, after 4 weeks. But the Lord said, no, we're going to go another week. So I'm not even guaranteeing you that this is the last week. Right? Because as I keep praying, He keeps bringing more things to my heart and to my mind. Worship is what He requires. And in worship, I'll give you a definition in just a minute, to kind of review. Worship isn't worship unless it costs you something. Right? Worship isn't worship unless it's fully, completely directed toward Him. And God will not share worship. He's not going to let you chase after idols and then call your worship what He requires. Right? We have to be totally and completely in Him. Let me just give you this definition and we'll go where I'm going to go this morning. Worship means to bow down in honor, to bow down in respect, to bow down in submission, and I like this one, and it means to bow down acknowledging His authority. That's big. Worship means that I acknowledge His authority. What does that mean? He's right, right? He's right. What He says goes. He's in charge. He's leading. In bowing my heart and my life to Him, I'm saying, Lord, You're the one in control, and whatever You say goes. Oh, that sounds so good until it comes up and bucks up against your will. Right? Lord, You said to love my neighbor, but I don't want to. See, worship requires that you do what He says, even when you don't want to do it. Hallelujah. The Lord made a couple of statements that are amazing to me. He said that you must love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That means He wants all of you. He wants all of you. And Paul, when he was writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he was closing it up, and he said, may the Lord sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. In other words, we don't just worship Him with our mind. We don't just worship Him with our bodies. We worship Him with everything. But everything is included. Right? And we're going to see some different demonstrations of that today, but I want you to know that He wants your whole heart. And what's so cool is it's a level playing field. I can worship Him with everything that I have, even if what I have doesn't match what You have. And I can worship Him with my whole heart, no matter where I'm at, whether I've just been saved 2 seconds or 40 years. I can worship Him with everything that's within me. Woo. Glory to God. And some would wonder, well, why do we do this in worship and why do we do that in worship and when we're trying to worship Him? Because God wants us to worship Him with everything that we have. Everything that we have. We said before that singing isn't necessarily worship, although you can sing in worship. Right? Right? praying isn't necessarily worship, but you can worship in prayer. Right? Because if you are not submitted to Him in your singing, then it's not worship. If you're not submitted to Him in your praying, then it's not worship. But true worship says, God, that You are in charge of everything, and I lay my life before You. Go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. We'll look at a lot of scriptures this morning because that's my M.O. Psalm 95. In verse 6 it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down." Let us worship and bow down. To bow down means I've surrendered. I'm completely, I honor Your headship over my headship. I'm bowed before You. So, and we're going to see in different places, it's respect when you bow. And here's the cool thing is, even when you're saying prayers over your meal, giving thanks to God, you don't have to bow on the floor, but you can bow your head. Why do we say, bow your heads, let's pray? Because it's a sign of worship and respect and honor that He deserves. We're going before God, and we can come freely before His throne of grace, and we're not diminishing that at all. But when we come, we should come with worship. So watch again what He says. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Why do we need to kneel? Do we need to kneel? I think some of us need to kneel more than we are. Right? I've gotten out of the habit of spending a lot of time on my knees. I'll pray on my bed, because it's a little harder to get up than it used to be. But the reality is kneeling puts you in a position of submission. Let me say that. Kneeling puts you in a position of submission. And it's a sign not only to, I don't want to kneel, I'd rather not, but Lord, I'm going to kneel because I want You to know, and I want my heart to know, and I'm telling my body that You're going to submit whether you want to or not. Right? Because true worship is submitting, not only, watch this, it's submission, and it's bowing down in honor, respect, and acknowledging His authority. Let's go on here. I'm going to read 6 again. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people, of His pasture and the sheep of His hands. Why do we kneel before? Because He's God. He's God. He's God. When you're praying, do you understand that you're going for before the one who was there before anything happened, and He was there after, He's going to be there after everything happens, and He put the stars in place. And I mean, you ever thought about what a miracle it is, first of all, that you can remember your keys? But other than that, that you can, you know, tell your hand to move and it moves. You know, they've come a long way in robots, but it's not quite the same as when you see a person, right? Because we're created and so wonderfully made. He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. So we need to bow and we need to kneel before Him. Bowing and kneeling gives the indication that I'm submitted before You in Jesus' name. I'm just submitted to You in Jesus' name. Go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of us submitting to Him. In Romans chapter 14. Hallelujah. In verse 11 it says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." Every knee shall bow to me. Every knee shall bow to me. You know, there's atheists and different people throughout the world who are not following God, but there's a day coming when they will bow their knee to Him in worship. And for us, it's like, I would rather bow now and be with Him forever than not bow now and be excluded from His presence. Bow. When you gave Jesus your heart and said, "You are Lord of my life," it was a portion of worship to Him, but true submission says, "I'm bowing everything that I have to You right now. And when I come and kneel before You, God, I'm coming out of respect to You. I'm coming out of honor to You. Lord, I'm going to worship You not only with my mind, not only with my heart, but as a part of me, of my body, I'm going to worship You with different avenues. I'm going to kneel before You. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to submit myself to You." Glory to God. How many have ever been in a position where God is putting something on your heart, but you don't want to do it? Or He tells you something that you're not supposed to be doing, but you do it. You want to do it. Everybody's hand should be up because everybody has been there, right? Everybody, right? So what do you do at that point, especially if your body and your mind and your flesh is just screaming out? Get on your knees and say, "God, I just want to worship You. I just want to do..." See, worship without obedience is not worship. Oh, yes, I can come in on Sunday morning, "I love You, Lord." But if you're all week not doing what He wants you to do, then that's really not worship. God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth, and we're so created for that. It's where our destiny is that, right? So when we're not submitting ourselves to Him and we're not doing what... And all of us have been in positions before where we know we're supposed to be doing something, but we're not doing it. Or we're in a habit or an addiction that we're just over and over and over and over doing the same thing. How many have had trouble forgiving people? How many have forgiven somebody and then the next day they come before you again in your mind and it's like, "I thought I did." Right? So if you're having trouble with that, every time, kneel before God and bow and say, "Lord, I'm putting them in Your hands and I'm going to submit to what You want me to do, whether I like it or not." Right? Kneeling means that I'm submitting and I'm bowing before You in reverence. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians in the third chapter. Hallelujah. In verse 14 it says, Paul speaking, and he said, and watch this. This is from a place, I'm going to actually read 13. We could go to verse 1, but... verse 11 says, "According to the eternal purposes which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which are for your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees." For this reason, I bow my knees. What's he saying? He's saying, "Listen, I've been through some stuff, but the stuff that I've been through is for you, right? And I want you to see the whole full potential of who you are. So for this reason, I bow my knees, because I want to submit to God and I want to get in God's face. I want God to get in my face so that I can be more effective in how I pray for you and how I live for you, right? Did you know that we're supposed to love one another? Did you know we're supposed to pray for one another? It's hard to pray for somebody that you're not in the right frame of mind to pray for. Right? Because I'm probably not like you, but I've wanted to pray, God, sick them. You know, hit them with a brick, do something. Right? But I have to submit my heart to God before I can pray for you. And at times that means I need to kneel before Him. Not as an outward sign of something that I'm showing off. Look at how holy I am. I'm the one kneeling. So you guys are all standing. So you can't be as holy as I am. Nothing to do with it. It's a personal thing that I'm going to kneel before the Lord, my God, my Maker. And I submit myself to you. Hallelujah. But we're not to kneel to anything else. Let me say that again. We're not to kneel to anything else. We looked at and looked at the Hebrew children and how the statue of Nebuchadnezzar was built up. And they said, okay, there's an edict. Everybody, when that sound goes off, you're supposed to bow toward that idol. And they said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But we will not bow our knee to Him because we've already bowed our knee to Him, right? To the Lord. So that means that I cannot live my life submitting my flesh to something other than God. And it's so easy to do. Right? Now, let me just say it this way, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but God wants us spirit, soul, and body. Did you know your emotions were part of your soul? So He wants you to worship Him with your emotions. What does that mean? I'm supposed to laugh when I worship Him. I'm supposed to cry when I worship Him. I'm supposed to worship Him with everything that I have. Now, just let me go here, because idolatry is what God hates, because it puts your allegiance to something other than Him. God doesn't mind you having things, right? But He doesn't want those things having you. Now, this might not apply to anybody else, but God spoke this to me, or I felt impressed of this week. Anything that I get more excited about than I'm excited about God, I need to check up on. If I'll cry at a movie, but I won't cry in His presence, there may be something wrong with my worship. Right? If I'll shout at a football game, but I won't shout for God in my worship, then there might be a problem in my worship. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like, Lord, I need to be there, and I need to constantly guard my heart. I know it's by grace and all of that, Lord, but I want my worship to mean something to You. I want my worship to please You. I want to worship You in complete submission. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Hallelujah. That's at the beginning of the book. Genesis 17. Verse 1 says, and Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before Me and be blameless. And I will make My covenant between Me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. Abraham fell on his face. See, sometimes our worship needs to be where we're flat on our face before God. Some of the best times I've had in true worship is when nobody was around but me and God, and I was doing rug time. We call that sucking rug. But I was on my face before God and just talking to Him and letting Him talk to me. Because a lot of times worship isn't necessarily about you talking a lot. But it is a lot about you listening a lot. And then you acting on what He says. And sometimes in worship, when you're on your face before God, He'll blow your mind. I'm just going to tell you one of my stories because I have the mic. I hadn't been saved maybe about a year, and I was a Saturday. I didn't have to work that Saturday. I was by myself in the house. And as I'm telling you, this is one of these stories that I can still see myself in that house. I tell you what color the fireplace was, what color the walls were, what color the rug was, because I'm still in that position in my heart, right? But I was on my face before God, and I'd been praying in the Spirit and talking to Him and worshiping Him. I don't know how long, but it was, you know, at least a half hour. But I'd just been worshiping Him and talking to Him, right? Then all of a sudden I got quiet, and He said this to me. And I know it was Him because it was so out in left field. He said, "I've anointed you to sing." Now that might sound strange to you because I sing up here every week. But at the time I said, "Who are you talking to? Me? Why would He say that?" Well, because that's what He had for me. Right? But I had to be in the place of submission and listening for Him to give the direction. And I argued with Him about it. I had friends who were musicians. I had friends who played all kinds of instruments, and they sang. And before you must be talking to them. You can't be talking to me. But He was. And He did. And there's an anointing upon me because He gave it to me. But I learned of it when I was on my face before Him in total submission and worship. Again, worship that doesn't cost you something, that doesn't stretch you, is not true worship. Watch this. I like this one. Go to Numbers. The book of Numbers in the 22nd chapter. And this is the story of Balaam. You remember Balaam and the donkey? This is so cool. Look at verse 31. Chapter 22, verse 31. I'm in the wrong place. I know why. I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay. Hang on. I wrote down the wrong verse. It's okay. Let me tell it to you. And you'll have to trust me. No, here we are. Here we are. Excuse me. All right, verse 30, 22:30. It says that, "So the donkey said to Balaam," that should get your attention. Yeah. Right? When your dog starts talking to you, listen up. "So the donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hands, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. If you truly come into the presence of God, and you know that there's something wrong in your heart, the first place you're going to be is on your face before God. Come on. You're going to be on your face before God because, watch this, God's holy. I said, God is holy. And in His holiness, He cannot allow anything that's not holy. That's why we need the blood, by the way. Right? That's why we need the blood. But watch this. If you're coming with a heart that says, well, I can just do anything I want and be any... I'm a little afraid of that. And I think you need to come back to the place where you're submitting yourself fully to Him because He's holy. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to come into the presence of a holy God. Especially if you've got rebellion in your heart or you haven't fully submitted yourself to Him. All of us in the room and everybody that you see, everybody that you know, is in the same position that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. There's that potential in us to continue to do that. But our hearts should be striving for, I want to be in God's presence forever and ever. And so when I know that I'm not pleasing God with my actions or my heart, there's a time where you just fall on your face and say, God, I need your help. I'm submitting myself to you no matter what it takes, God. This thing will not stand between me and you because you are a holy God. And I want to worship you not only with my mind, not only with my heart, but I want to worship you with my body too. Hallelujah. Over and over, you remember the story of in the book, and I'm just going to condense a little bit, but you remember when Saul was persecuting the church in Acts chapter 9, and he was going around and he was, man, I got the paperwork. I'm going after those that are calling on the name of Jesus, and I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem so that I can say, listen, I'm the man. I'm taking care of this situation. And he got knocked off his donkey. Right? And what did he do? He fell flat on his face. And the voice from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Let me just say this. If you're truly in worship and God never corrects you, I wonder if you're really worshiping. I'll just let that settle. But watch this. If we're truly in God's presence and God's dealing with us, then we should submit ourselves fully before Him. And there's no better way or no better demonstration than laying on your face before Him and say, God, whatever you want, whatever you have for me, I want to worship you. I want to worship you. I want my obedience because I respect you, because I honor you, because, Lord, you are my divine authority. So if you say not to be an angry person, if you say to not let bitterness, and if there's bitterness in my heart, Lord, then I'm going to get on my face before you and worship until I can root out that bitterness because I'm submitted to you. If you fall on your face, you're in total recognition and your submission to Him who is holy. Come on, let me say that again. If you're falling on your face, you're in total recognition of His holiness and you're submitted to that. Come on. We need to be so submitted to Him in our hearts that our actions just do whatever He wants us to do. I don't have this in the notes, but it's a story that I was thinking about while we're worshiping. It was time in the synagogue to bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse, and you know, there's people that were really dressed nice, and they had all that, and they had out the big checkbook and said, "Look at what I'm going to do, boy. I'm bringing. You see that those sheep that I'm bringing? You see that I'm bringing? Look at all that I'm doing." And they go, yeah. Look at me. I'm the spiritual one. Look up to me. And then there was this lady, and I just get the picture that she kind of came in her heart, she was probably going, "My offering is not enough. I can't give like these that are looking so prosperous and they're giving so much." And she brought in these two little coins that didn't amount to anything, and she dropped them in. And Jesus said, "Do you see her? Do you see her? She has given more than all of these because she gave out of her need instead of her excess." See, with her giving, she was worshiping. So it doesn't matter where you are. It just matters where your heart is. Hallelujah. 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 So we worship Him by being on our knees. We worship Him with our heart. We worship Him by falling on our face. But we can also worship Him by lifting up our hands. You ever wonder, I mean, some people go, "Man, oh, that church is strange. They always got their hands up." And the reality is, Lord, I'm lifting my hands up to You, first of all, to acknowledge that You're my all. And I just want to honor You with that. Big John came years ago, but Big John used to say, "I never worship God like this when I lift my hands. I worship Him like this." And he said that because I want everything that He has for me. So I'm not just giving, but I am giving, but I'm also receiving in my worship because I have faith in that. Let me just give you a few scriptures. Glory to God. There's so much. Go to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Again, you can do all of the actions and your heart not be in it, and it's not worship. But don't be afraid of the actions, is what I'm saying. Because in the action, in obedience to the actions. Hallelujah. Psalm 149. I'm getting ahead of myself with the scripture, but let's read it anyway. It says, "Let them," verse 3, "let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp." Do you know you're lifting your voice up to Him as worship? Dancing is worship if you're doing it from the right perspective. Now go back to Psalm 141. Look at this. This is so awesome. It says in verse 2, it says, "My loving kindness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. Lord, what is man that You take knowledge of him, or a son of man that You are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." It's like, Lord, how can I do anything but worship You? How can I do anything but worship You?
Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul's talking to his church. He's talking to his son in the faith. And he says this in verse 8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He said, listen, I want you everywhere, all over the place. I want you lifting up your holy hands before Him. And again, your holiness is not what makes your hands holy. It's His holiness. It's His blood. It's you accepting the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who died for your sins. For first of all, you acknowledging that you're a sinner, but you accept the one who paid the price for your sins. But based out of that, Lord, I'm going to lift up my hands in worship to you when I'm praying, God. I'm submitted to you completely. I'm totally, completely reliant upon you. And this is so good in worship because it's almost like this. Have you ever, you know, you got a little kid with you and you're walking along and they just reach up for your hand because in your hand there's protection. In your hand they know that you're going to lead them where they're going to go. In your hand they're not going to get lost. In your hand, you know, they can understand that they're secure. So in prayer and holy hands before God, it's like, Lord, you'll lead me in my prayer. Lord, you'll guide me where I'm going to go. Lord, you'll protect me as I'm going. Lord, your way are my way. And Lord, I want to worship you. And part of that worship is I'm lifting up holy hands to you, submitted hands to you, respectful hands to you, hands that realize and acknowledge your authority over me. God, I want more and more and more of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So lifting up your hands in worship is giving Him everything that He wants you to give Him. But it's also receiving everything that He wants to give to you. Amen. Right? Did you know that He said that He wants for you to have abundance in life? He wants you to have a life that's full of abundance. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have $100 million in the bank. But what that means is that your heart is full of Him. And if your heart is full of Him, He can trust you with $100 million if He gives it to you. He doesn't care about your bank account. What He cares about is your heart. And worship is the governor on your heart. Let me just describe that. Most of you know that I'm a golfer. I love to golf. And they have golf carts that you ride around in. Well, years ago, my son Michael was working at Horseshoe Lake Golf Club. And he said, Dad, all these golf carts have governors on them. That means they won't go too fast, right? But he said, if you stick a golf tee right here, you can override the governor. Well, that's okay in a sense. But if you're not careful with that, you can flip that golf cart. Right? You know what I'm saying? Right. So worship in our prayer and submitting to God is the governor that will keep us in the track of where we're going and that we won't get ahead of God. We won't get behind God, but we're submitted completely to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think in worship, if we're truly worshiping God, there'll be times where His overwhelming presence will be upon us. Right? His overwhelming presence. But whether I feel His presence or not, I'm going to worship Him anyway. But I like the times when I feel it. I'll just tell you a story in closing of, well, maybe a couple stories. But you remember David, and he brought the presence of God back to Jerusalem. He was finally going to have it back in the city where it belonged. And he had sacrifices going. And he was just so overjoyed with the presence of God. He was worshiping God with all of His might. So much so that His outer clothing just went out the door. And He was just worshiping God. He worshiped Himself right out of some of His clothes.
Hallelujah.
And His wife said, "Man, you're the king. You're a noble man in the kingdom of God. What are you doing? You're undignified. How dare you worship God like that? You should be more stately in your worship." And this is my paraphrase. Said, "Honey, you haven't seen nothing yet." Right? "I plan on even getting more undignified than this because I understand who I'm worshiping. I understand where I'm going. I understand who He is and how much I need Him and how much I desire His presence. And so as an expression of my worship, I may just get a little excited and you have to deal with it." I think that should be our heart, right? Again, worship is to bow down in respect, in honor, submitting ourselves to God and acknowledging His authority. It's not singing a song, although you can do that in a song. It's not that in a dance. It's not that in lifting up your hands. It's not even that of laying straight. But all of those are demonstrations of how you can accomplish that and be in His presence. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? He's worthy of our praise. Oh, He's worthy of our praise. Come on. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Just close your eyes for a minute. Everybody just close your eyes for just a second. I want you to picture the throne room of God right now. Just imagine it's a huge, huge room with ceilings that seem like they go on forever. Everything in it glistens. There's all kinds of different jewels and the tile work that you're walking on. It's like, wow, this is incredible. But then at the front of the room is a throne. And on that throne sits the one who created everything, the one who is right in everything, the one who knows everything. And He's given you an invitation to be there. You're just in awe of Him in His presence. And then all of a sudden you hear, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy." And then there's thrones around the main throne, and there's 24 men that are sitting on them, and they hear, "Holy, holy, holy." And they immediately leap from their thrones and fall on their face. Because He who they're adoring is holy. And He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy of our obedience. And even right now, right here, right now, I believe with all my heart we're before His throne. In your heart, just worship Him. Say, "Lord, I submit myself to You. I recognize Your authority. I give You my life. I yield myself to You right now. I know I don't deserve to be here, Lord. It's only by Your mercy and Your grace that I can be. But I'm here at Your invitation. So I just worship You. I worship You. I worship You. I worship You. I worship You." Hallelujah. He's worthy. And you need to worship Him. If you're watching online, we're going to sign off now, but I want you to worship Him. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you know in your heart that you're not right with God, because there's no peace there when we talk about being in His presence, then you need to submit to Him and to His Word and bow your knee to Him and say, Jesus, I need a Savior. There's sin in my heart, there's sin in my life, and I know that I can't be right with You on my own. I need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. So if you'll say with your mouth that, and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Messiah, He's the one that paid the price for my sin. He's the one that took my sin away. I believe in my heart that that's true. And I also believe that God raised Him from the dead, proving that the sacrifice was accepted. If you'll believe that in your heart and let that come out of your mouth, the Bible says that you will be saved. Just receive Him now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless those that are watching online. I ask you to heal their bodies. Touch them in Jesus' name. Right now, I believe the power of God is available to touch your bodies. I command strength to go into them. I peace to go into them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. If I could have